So we've next got a session featuring Joss Underwood, who I think some of you will remember Joss, I think, perhaps from previous BAFTA events, and Gary Briggs from Manchester International Festival. And I hope, actually, it will tie nicely, I hope, to the stuff we've been talking about previously with Alan. And to introduce them and to chair the session is Ashley Morris from Newbury Spring Festival. Thank you.
Hello. I'm not sure I'm the best person to talk about apprenticeship because I don't know a great deal, but I hope that we're going to be enlightened. So please don't leave me here on my own because I don't know what I'm going to talk about. No. Welcome, Gary and Joss. So
thank you
very much. You don't want to hear about me talking. You're the far more educated, but tell us more. Or do you want to do we all know where they come from?
We've both prepared an intro.
You've done an intro?
Yeah, so we'd probably be about 5 minutes each.
I knew that, really. Over to you.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Really nice to be here. My first BAFTA and first trip to Harrogate. Yeah, it's got a real Christmassy vibe, hasn't it? It's all good. So I work at the Factory Academy in Manchester International Festival. So our work really is around creating sort of accessible entry points, I guess, to the creative and cultural sector. I think it's fair to say that the creative industry does have a problem, and I think it's a fairly big problem in that it's almost impossible at times for sort of young people to break into the sector. If you compare it to, say, the construction industry, there were very sort of structured vocational sort of entry points, which are fairly standard. Many creative roles, I think, rely on a very singular entry point, which is often, you know, a university degree followed by a period of unpaid work, which is fine, I guess, but when you consider, you know, the profile of the person that most likely to come through that route, you will more often than not find a sort of financially stable background, a reasonably strong sort of education background. And I guess, you know, university simply isn't an option for everybody, you know, particularly, you know, younger people from perhaps a lower socioeconomic background. And a number of positions still do ask, newly qualified positions, you know, still do ask for honours degrees as a basic sort of entry requirement. So that, I suppose that means there is a sort of almost hidden talent, I guess, in huge swathes of the population, many of which will never pass through the doors of a university. So I think, you know, we do need to find new ways to show people what's possible, what they can achieve, and how they can harness their creativity to turn it into a career. And importantly, I think, challenge the industry, you know, ourselves, the people in our room, our colleagues, to keep sort of creating those accessible opportunities. 100 billion-ish, isn't it, annually, that the creative sector sort of contributes to the UK economy, which is not actually a million miles away from the annual contribution the construction industry makes. So that's quite an interesting, I think, comparison to think about. And the creative industries in this country has always been innovative. It's always been at the forefront, but we do need those differential viewpoints, those different backgrounds, those different contexts and approaches. Or unfortunately, I don't think it will remain dynamic and innovative. So in my work at Manchester International Festival, it's all about collaboration. We try to focus on creating exceptional experiences and events and include a sort of wide range of voices. It all started around 2018, actually, launched by my ex-esteemed colleague, Joss Underwood here, actually. And this is a group of young people that came through the first sort of traineeship programme that the organisation developed. And if we sort of fast forward to sort of 2020, at the tail end of lockdown, we opened applications for around 250 places on a range of fully funded courses for young people of Greater Manchester, all of which were either unemployed or on a low income. And this was all part of the sort of Factory Academy programme that we developed. We focused on three programmes. We had a sort of 15-day academy, which we worked with our partners in the industry to offer up a ring-fence job. So at the end of this process, all of the people on that programme were interviewed for that particular job, and one of those people were fortunate enough to get that opportunity. And this is a model that we've replicated sort of month on month ever since. We developed a slightly longer program, an 8-week traineeship that we partnered with 10 sort of world-class, actually, production companies and broadcast organisations from Greater Manchester. And as part of the 8-week process, there was a 100-hour work placement. All of the sort of time in employment was bursaried as well. So again, it meant that the opportunity was accessible irrespective of your sort of financial background. And then a longer 12-week Managing Creative Projects program, which was really around sort of developing the fundamentals of project management. And it's probably aimed at the more sort of entrepreneurial creative, you know, that perhaps, you know, young woman in Ardwick who really wants to put on a gallery event, or an aspiring DJ that wants to put his own or their own club night on. Since then, you know, we've partnered with organisations such as Lang O'Rourke, the big construction company, Manchester City Council, Home, Sick Festival, Toasted Productions, and even sort of Manchester International. We recruited 10 paid interns, actually, that came to work for the company I'm at, as you know, throughout this process. But then we've also provided a recruitment solution for people like Badger and Coombs and the Javard Alleyport Theatre Company, Contact Theatre, Lowry Theatre, and even less sort of traditionally creative organisations like the Growth Company and the Hut Group. But all of these organisations have recruited out of our pool of alumni. And we feel strongly that, well, one of the reasons why we think this works anyway is because you get to recruit from a pool of people that really understand the values of the organisation that you run. The young people have a real sense of the ethos and the values, but most importantly, it gives that student sort of exposure to people who are best in class. So the idea of a job interview or applying for a role might be terrifying, but actually through this sort of process, you get to spend time with the employer, and the employer really understands, you know, the people and their needs. They do and have sort of shown to fast-track personal professional development, and we've got about a 50% progression rate at the moment. So this is obviously through, you know, during and post-pandemic times, but within 3 months of leaving one of our programmes, around half of the students that have taken part have gone on to find work or progress to sort of further study at HE level. So we are quite pleased with those numbers. There's still a lot of work to do, but I think it's a decent sort of benchmark starting point. It is all about diversity and access, and we've got around 60% of the people that are provided diversity inclusion data report a characteristic which is underrepresented in some degree. So, you know, when we talk about underrepresentation or diversity, we do mean broader than just ethnicity, you know, socioeconomic background, gender, disability, orientation. And I suppose, I guess finally, you know, we do feel like these programs are important because they do, you know, they do empower those kind of hidden creatives that will make tomorrow happen. And, you know, here are just, you know, some of the students that have been through some of the process. These are our CVT apprentices who are now still working at a number of theatres across Manchester. Arbor on the right there had never been to a theatre show in his life, and he now works as a venue technician. And this is a selection of the rogues that came through our recent academy programmes. Fantastic bunch, actually. It's a real privilege to work with them. And I think, yeah, that's about it. That's the sort of latest update of the factory as well, by the way, for any of you are sort of geeks and keen to spot how it's progressing. But yeah, there we have it. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Gary. I'm just going to talk a little bit. I'm going to stand up, if that's all right, Ashley. Just need to project a little bit. So I'm Joss. I'm essentially a project director. I worked with Gary at the factory. And in May, I launched two new businesses. One is Field 19, which is a consultancy made up of associates that do work around learning and development, bid writing, training development. And we do look for projects that require independent leadership. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a project that we're currently leading. We have clients such as MIF, we also work with the Arts Council closely, New Mills Festival, to name a few. I think it's fair to say that personal development and providing opportunities to young people is something which is part of my makeup. It's absolutely core to what I believe is the right thing to do. And this really has driven me to make the decisions to start two new businesses. So Field 19, we also launched a company called The Tent People. So you can see there three tents, and this is some land that we own in the Peak District, and we've set up a new pop-up venue, which will operate for 8 weeks of the year. We don't know which 8 weeks yet, but it will be an arts, community arts, well-being, and education facility in the most amazing natural environment that overlooks Kinder Scout and other lovely things. It's a social enterprise, so everything that we make through that and generate through that will go back into community arts projects. And just to show we put our money where our mouth is, this is Tom and Kobe. So at the moment, our organisation is just two directors, but we believe in this so much that we worked with the DWP to offer two Kickstart roles this summer. So Tom is still with us. Kobe has gone to uni, but it very much is part of the core of our business. So before I move on, I just want to talk to you about an apprenticeship project, which links very neatly and nicely into the work that Gary is leading with the Factory Academy. And I think the work there, in terms of getting people ready and moving them on and the next opportunity, Gary mentioned a stat of 60%. We want to see that grow. But in order to do that, we need to create more opportunities. And apprenticeship is a really fantastic way to do that. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that project. How many people know what apprenticeship is? Yeah. Okay, good. Has anyone ever taught an apprentice or had an apprentice in their organisation? Yeah, is that what's your name? Great, fantastic. Well done, Graham. And I saw a hand here. Yeah, what's your name? Yeah. Okay. Is that two hands then out of all of us here? Okay, so we've got a bit to do. Okay, so this is what I'm going to talk to you about. We have recently put a bid to... don't worry about looking at that. I've put that on there if anyone wanted to take any pictures, but it's there's just some information on there. There's a thing called flexi job apprenticeship. So one of the things that the creative sector struggles with is the continuation of an apprenticeship for 18 months to 2 years. Does that sound familiar to people, having to make that sort of long... Yeah, okay. So what we're looking to do here is create a more flexible or shared scheme, whereby as an organisation you could offer 6 months rather than 2 years. So what we're proposing is that we create a project, a pan-northern project. So it would be the northwest, the northeast, Yorkshire and the Humber, because the thing with apprenticeships is to get that good quality, we need to get the volume in there. So we've taken a broad northern approach and we've put a bid to the Department for Education to say we think we can make this work in the north. The flexi job apprenticeship, as I said, is really about increasing the number of apprenticeships. And there really is a strong commitment from the Department for Education to support sectors where freelance or short-term employment is the thing. So we hope they're going to look upon our bid favourably. We've got some very good support in there. We've got the Northern Powerhouse 11 LEPs who are backing it. The Arts Council are on board. And then we're working with organisations across all of those regions within the North to provide anchor points around employer engagement, such as Factory Academy, the GM Skills Consortium, Leeds Grand Futures, Sage Gateshead. So we've got some really, really interesting organisations coming around the table to talk about how we can work collaboratively. How it might work is that the organisation, and what I should say as well, this isn't about reinventing the wheel. What we're really looking for is an operational unit that sits in the middle, that coordinates all the good activity and works with employers to say, right, what can you do? What's your experience so far? How long a project have you got? What's your funding say? Where do you struggle to recruit people? So, for example, we did a survey a couple of years ago that said that people really struggle to recruit good fundraising people. There is an apprenticeship in fundraising, so we should be growing our own. We should be growing that talent amongst ourselves. Let's share the training and let's create that talent ourselves. So it might be that an apprentice starts with, let's say, Whitby Folk Festival, and they learn there how to be a cultural participation officer. So that's one of the standards that we're looking at. So Whitby Folk Festival, Folk Week might provide the initial 6 months, and then they might go to Sage Gateshead and they will get a completely different experience. The standard of competence would remain the same, but it would be broadening their network and doing a whole new different type of training. And then they might finish there for 18 months at the Festival of Thrift, where they would maybe complete their apprenticeship and go on to then further employment. So at the end of that 18 months, 2 years, they would have developed their skills to really, hopefully, enable them to stick in our sector. So by the time they've come to the end of that, we really want them to have something valuable where people go, I'm struggling to recruit here. Well, there's somebody. They've got 2 years' experience now, and they can come to you and work with you. So that's the concept behind it. These are, and I just should say, this is not the first, it's not a new concept, the shared apprenticeship scheme. In fact, construction, and Gary and I talk a lot about the synergies with construction, has been doing this for probably about 10, 15 years. Because believe it or not, construction, 86% of the sector is made up of very small organisations. So you might see the large contracting organisations, but in similarity to the creative sector, a lot of those organisations are small and micros, particularly when it's specialist. So there are a lot of similarities. So I ran a shared apprenticeship scheme in construction for Greater Manchester. We had over 300 apprentices through. And just the last slide I wanted to show you was these. This is taken from their LinkedIn profiles yesterday. So a lot of these are sort of, however many years down the line. And I should say as well that we really did try and target, again, people that were underrepresented within the sector, particularly people of colour and females in construction. All six of these now have
You just see that the growth and development, you feel like you played a small part in that, and that in itself gives you energy, I think, to sort of keep pushing on. So that's what we get from it. Yeah, well, certainly personally,
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the energy thing but also that like I was saying before, that sort of succession planning and the sort of like, and who else is coming next and what's coming after. And I think we can all take this moment. And Fiona, you started by saying let's take a breath and sort of think about, now's a good time to sort of go, well, how are we moving into the future? And is this something we could embed in the way that we move forward? Because not only is it a brilliant thing to do, it will absolutely benefit the organisation in all of those ways that Gary's just said, in ways that we probably can't even articulate. Mm-hmm. And it's just giving that opportunity for a young person or even an older person to grow with you, come with new ideas, and just sort of, just try something slightly different and bring somebody in from a different pool that wouldn't necessarily usually, because the benefits of that are however manyfold.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.
it's well, structure and planning, I guess, you know. I mean, as you said before, everyone's got different motivations for being in. You know, I quite like that mixture. We've got some of our younger team, as you say, that are always in the office all the time. Some of that is probably that excitement of having the new role, and we still see work as a place, don't we? You know, which is an interesting one, I think. You know, work is a building, and it's something that MIF are really conscious of this point actually right now with the move to the factory, because actually, you know, we're keen that the factory isn't seen just as a steel and glass structure. You know, it's almost an idea, and you know what I mean. So I think it's just making sure that you plan for it, you know, and there's almost a democratic design to how you approach it. You know, we at MIF, we have very small teams. There's lots of interconnectivity, but we all very much have our objectives that we work to, and certainly on our team, it's quite democratic. You know, we figure out how best to work, and I suppose fundamentally it's about getting the job done. We had to deliver a lot of our programs. The intention was that we'd be delivering them all in person. You know, the Factory Academy was supposed to be a collaborative, sort of interactive, physically sort of environment, you know, much like a college. And we very quickly were very adamant that we weren't going to stop, we weren't going to not deliver anything, we were going to roll on and do it. So everything became digital. But it worked brilliantly, you know, it gave an extra layer of accessibility to some. And I think the only thing you need to keep, you probably just have to, and certainly every day I'm getting up thinking more intentionally about sort of, you know, safeguarding and well-being and just making sure you check in that little bit more, you know, probably more frequent one-to-ones than we would do in a normal setting. But yeah, just structure and plan, and just I really like that. The team that I work in, it's non-hierarchical. You know, we work together and we agree things together. We succeed and fail together. So yeah, it's structure and trying to be a democratic process to how we set things up. Probably not really answered your question there, but yeah.
Well, unless anyone else has got any other burning questions, I think we'll sort of wrap up. But I mean, certainly personally, I think there's a lot to think about there. Lots of new ideas about collaboration and the idea even that an apprentice doesn't have to be at the bottom of the pile. Mm-hmm. I think that, for me, maybe that's just my sort of blinkered notion that, you know, apprentice equals junior, but that doesn't have to be. Lots for us to challenge and think, and it's an opportunity, I think, at the moment, isn't it? Particularly as we come out of COVID and we all adapt to new working from home and new things and new opportunities as the festivals all develop. Maybe apprentice and trainee and kickstart should all be part of that, and not necessarily the upper middle class, you know, daddy's little girl can go off and do 2 weeks of internship there and I'll pay for her, it's fine. I think we need to get away from that model. Lots to think about. So thank you very much to both of you. I think
pleasure.
Fascinating. And look forward to lots more thoughts about it.
Thank you.